This is 98.1 FM, Raglan Community Radio. Irirangi o Whangaroa. Hello, kia ora. My name is Jason. I teach holistic health and healing, and welcome to Your Health, Your Choice, a show that guides you on your healing journey, helping you choose your own healing path. And today, to help us on that healing path, I have Corin from Salino Health. How are you doing, mate?
I'm good, thanks, Jason. Thanks for having me on.
No, thanks for coming on. I came across you at the recent Spirit Fest in Auckland. I attended your workshop a bit late, but yeah, it was really fascinating, the things you said I'd never heard before. And I wanted to explore more about your knowledge on plant medicines and traditional cultures and stuff like that. So if you just want to introduce or begin with, how did you get into the work that you do with maca and cacao?
Yeah, good question. So I'm actually from Wellington originally. I did my studies in the University of Victoria, and then did a PhD in medicinal chemistry in Melbourne, Australia afterwards. So I had a pretty good background of science behind me, and I was working in the big pharmaceutical industry and decided to take a holiday trip to Peru one year. And that's where I met my now wife, Sally, who's a native Peruvian. And she took me to learn a lot about her culture and her people, where she came from in the Andes. And she started feeding me maca every day when I was there.
And was she force-feeding you?
Force-feeding me, yeah. No, literally. It was like in my porridge, in my soups, in my teas, like this little root. And I was like, what is this stuff? And she said, well, this is a maca, the food of the brain. And it's really good for your brain and your energy and your health. And at the time, I'd been on antidepressants for quite a number of years. So for me, you know, I was willing to give it a try just because I really wanted to come off my antidepressants, and that I'd been struggling a bit. And it made a massive difference to my health. So I came off antidepressants using maca, cacao, that she was also sharing with me, and just spending time working with the communities there in Peru. Went back to Australia, quit my job and moved to Peru to start a new life, doing something completely different, where I wanted to really learn this ancestral knowledge and bring it back to the West to share it with people here who are in need, I suppose. So yeah, that's how we do what we do, I suppose.
Yeah, and you were coming from science perspective, like, did you maintain your scientific roots?
Yeah, I mean, I'm very much a hippie scientist. Like, I'm into holistic medicine, into alternative treatments, integrative medicine, but I really want to bring credibility to the industry that I'm in now. And so I set up some research programs with Victoria University, Otago Uni, and we're studying these plants now, like maca and cacao. We got some co-funding from Callaghan Innovation here in New Zealand to do these programs where we're mapping the biochemistry of the plants and understanding what's in it, how does it work in the brain. Like, the latest study we just ran at Otago was putting some of these plants through cannabinoid scans to see how it compares to cannabis, what receptors are being activated, and and that kind of stuff for me is fascinating, because we can then link it back to, you know, the way the plants have been traditionally used. Like, maca is a cannabinoid plant from the Andes. Cacao has a history in Peru of being used for spiritual development and growth, and also it has a history of being combined with psychedelic plants like San Pedro. So I, as a scientist, really want to understand the rationale for doing that. You know, there's a reason why plants are combined together and why plants work together. So all our research is kind of, understanding why and how, but being respectful of the traditional use of the plant.
Okay. So, are there other plants? I'm thinking that cannabinoids are found in many plants, or maybe all of them, but in different amounts. What's your understanding of that?
Yeah, cannabinoids are interesting. I mean, we didn't even know about these molecules until 1993, when they discovered these receptors in the brain and then all throughout the body, using cannabis. So they named it after cannabis because they thought it was more linked to cannabis. So the cannabinoid system was based on that early research. And we've now found that, you know, these receptors a design for human molecules, human cannabinoids, I call human cannabis, that make us really blessed and happy and joyful and balanced and regulate our hormone systems and control a lot of the way our nervous system responds. But many plants do have cannabinoids. Some cannabinoids are really direct on the body, like in cannabis, THC, which is, you know, you feel the effects rapidly of that when you take it. But then cannabis also has a lot of indirect cannabinoids that are kind of working to support our natural human cannabinoids in the brain and body. And this is where maca fits and cacao fit. They both contain cannabinoids, but all of the ones in maca and cacao are indirect. Whereas cannabis like has a mixture of both. There are other plants too, like in kava, there's some direct cannabinoids that have a direct effect. One molecule called yangonin and Salvia divinorum is another plant from Mexico. They call Mexican tripping weed, and that's got a very powerful direct cannabinoid in it. So it's interesting now, because the more we look at these kinds of traditional plants, the more we're seeing this, and all of them have something in common. They all come from indigenous cultures, and they were very sacred plants, master plants, and they have a lot of tradition and often ceremony surrounding their use because of their power on the brain and the body. Yeah,
that's true. How many years has it been now that the endocannabinoid system has been discovered and researched? Like, how far back are we going? Only a few? 10, 20?
1990s, 2000, 2010. Okay. So we're only like 20 to 30 years. And I know that sounds like a lot.
To me it sounds quite recent, because we've known about the immune system and detox system. And then there's this whole other system that we had no clue about until 30 years ago.
Yeah, and this is the beauty of it. I mean, in science terms, it's not long at all.
Yeah,
it's
very new. Not long.
When we look at maca research, for example, they only found the cannabinoids in maca probably 8 or 9 years ago, I think, in the early studies. So, you know, and a lot of the work now, like Ethan Russo in the US is doing all this work on cannabinoid entourage and understanding the effects of indirect cannabinoids, and even terpene research, which is really new, looking at the flavor compounds in plants and how they can interact with our cannabinoids is something that's only over the last kind of 5 to 10 years. So, yeah, I mean, the actual discoveries were, you know, 30 years ago, but now when we're looking at the medicinal side of the application of that, very new, 5, 10 years, you know. Cool.
It's fascinating. So are you able to explain what type of plants maca and cacao are they legumes, are they vegetables, are roots, like what are they exactly, what's their class?
Yeah, they're both very different to each other. So maca is a root vegetable. It's like a radish, I suppose, would be the closest thing that we can attribute it to in our understanding. It only grows very high up in the mountains of Peru, so 4,000 meters, which is higher than the highest point in New Zealand. And it's traditionally, it takes a year roughly to grow, and then it's 3 months of natural sun drying, and they rest the soil for 10 years in between each crop. So it's got a very long production cycle in a traditional aspect. And it's only considered medicinal when it's dry. And that sun drying process is really important, because that's when all the cannabinoids are made in the root. So the fresh root doesn't actually contain much in the way of medicinal properties, although it is very nutritionally dense. So the Andean people have used this, and the pre-Incan people used it for thousands of years. They traded also with the Amazonian tribes who were in the jungle areas of Peru for cacao. So the two plants have been used a lot traditionally together. Cacao is actually a seed. So it's a fruit. The plant is a fruit. It's got a beautiful sweet flesh full of probiotics in it, and then inside of that white fleshy sweet is the seed, and the seeds are what are taken out sun-dried, fermented then sun-dried, and then can be eaten like roasted or straight or milled into a liquor, which is what they use to make paste. The ceremonial cacao paste is made from that. And that's basically where you mill it up until it's completely homogenized. So you've got 50% of it's fat, 50% is solids, and you're making these kind of blocks out of it. So we would, you know, that's in essence, chocolate is that, but chocolate is a processed form of it where they've separated often the fat and the cocoa mass and then recombine them in different ratios with things like sugar or milk solids. So the Europeans basically invented chocolate from traditional cacao, and that's how we all knew it. And that was in the 1600s. It was taken to Europe. But before that, it was traditionally used either as a generally in brews with water and whisked together in the form of a milled paste or some sort of ground up on a stone grinder, like a stone ground cacao.
And it was always fermented and dried out in the sun?
Yeah, it's interesting. They use both fermented and unfermented. There's stories, ancient stories of, you know, almost getting drunk off cacao because it can ferment into alcohol as well. So having sort of alcoholic brews of cacao. But most of the work with it was through fermentation because it changed when it ferments, it changes the flavor to be very chocolatey and not so bitter. And so I think a lot of people realized that it was more pleasurable having it in that form than it was having it just raw, unrefined, which is really, really bitter.
Yep. It must be the first time I've heard fermentation improving flavor to be less, you know, because normally with like sauerkraut, it's more sour, or with this drink, it's more this. But it's interesting, you're removing bitterness. You're actually improving the flavor with fermentation.
Yeah, we've studied cacao. Part of our research, we studied fermented and unfermented cacao, and you do lose some of the medicinal properties. Like you lose a lot of polyphenols, which are the antioxidants in it, but you do gain other things as well. We found, for example, higher levels of tryptamine, which is a biogenic amine, which promotes sensations of embodiment and promotes neuroplasticity and promotes kind of awakening, spiritual awakening. And like molecules like this we found increased with some kinds of fermentation. So it's sort of pros and cons with cacao, and this is why the whole world of cacao is like we looked at 20 different cacaos and they were all so different biochemically. They all had different properties. So what we're trying to do is introduce this idea of not all cacao is the same, and different cacao has very different properties on the body. So we need to try and, you know, profile that cacao so we can understand how it's going to work in the brain and use it for different applications. So if I'm doing a breath work ceremony with cacao, it's going to be a different cacao I want to use to doing dance with it versus doing meditation, etc. Yeah,
I'm a bit of a chocolate connoisseur myself. I love chocolate. It's probably my favorite food. And I can tell you, like, you can get a few different 100% blocks, and some of them will taste quite muddy and soily. Others will have some sort of floral or fruit flavors. Like, it's so different. It's like wine. It's like any other food, depending on the soil it's grown and, you know, the latitude and all those things. It is quite different. And also the impact on how you feel.
Yeah.
You know, there's some chocolate that really hypes me up, and there's some that really mellows me out. So you're right. Yeah.
And that's really observant and great to know. And this is why it's good that you're getting onto those higher percentages of chocolate, because what we often find is we're so desensitized to diluted cacao where it's got a lot of milk solid in it and a lot of sugar and a lot of stabilizers. So when you get into the pure forms of cacao, just like you say, it's like wine, you know. And in Peru, like the farmers that we work with, they're connoisseurs of creating different varieties and blends. And there's cacao that's mass produced and roasted heavily for the chocolate industry, which has just got a very chocolate flavor. And then there's cacao that has all these nuances of, you know, fruits and berries and tobacco flavor or peppery flavor. And this is what Peru specializes in, is artisanal cacao. So it's only 3% of the entire global cacao production. And out of that 3%, Peru owns about 60% of it. So they're really the biggest and best in the world at creating these different unique varieties. And as a chocolatier, like, you know, most of them will go to countries like Peru to create these blends that you're talking about, where you're getting these really different flavors, textures, sensations. We encourage people out there, like, if you want to get into cacao, go to the pure stuff, use the ceremonial grade cacao, or go to the 100% chocolate. You guys have a great chocolate company, Raglan Chocolate, there.
Yeah.
That do awesome work.
Those guys are awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is medicine, right? Like, and you only need a little bit because it's so potent, you know.
Yeah,
you don't need.
Yeah, I mean, without cacao, like the therapeutic profiling we do on it, you know, 20 to 30 grams is all you need to really get ahead of these types of molecules that can change our mental health, our physical health, you know, getting enough theobromine, enough tryptamine, phenylethylamine within 20 to 30 grams, which is really not much at all. You know, you're talking 1 tablespoon, 2 tablespoons. And this is what we're trying to do as a business is like, we, you know, the Europeans made chocolate for its flavor and taste. And cause they didn't like the bitterness of the pure cacao. So they've been converted it to something and made it a decadent thing. We want to go back to the roots of the indigenous people used it as a medicine. So let's create therapeutic cacao that's medicinal, as opposed to tastes amazing as chocolate with sugar and all sorts of additives in it. I mean, it still can taste great, but you know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah. I couldn't imagine someone thinking of vegetables this way, where they'll add sugar or some milk powders or anything like that to make vegetables taste better, because it would damage the product. It would damage the whole medicine in the vegetable. And that's what we're doing with cacao.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly the same thing. Do you know, if you don't ferment cacao and you eat it, are there any known negative side effects? Because I know with corn, for example, traditionally that was always fermented and, you know, mixed with a lime solution or some sort of solution, and that sort of made it more digestible. And I'm thinking there must be a similar reason to ferment cacao, maybe to remove any, what do they call them, anti-nutrients?
Yeah, I mean, you can eat it raw, and we call washed cacao, which is where it's just been washed and not fermented. And we've done that in Peru. Like, we've eaten just pure raw. We've got a friend who from Mexico who she actually makes some pure raw unfermented cacao chocolate. It doesn't make good chocolate. We've tried that before, because we also have unfermented beans that we sell here in New Zealand, and we did give some to chocolate makers, and you know, it wasn't great chocolate, I'm not going to lie. But it's not actually bad for you to be consuming it in that way. Yep. It's just that
it changes the flavor, and
a lot of people don't like the flavor because it's it's pretty bitter.
So going back to maca and cacao, what are their medicinal benefits for the body mind?
So maca is the food of the brain, we call it, and it's really focused on building strength and resilience to stress into our nervous system. And it does that through the ECS, endocannabinoid system. It, you know, it has many different properties, but the main thing that we see benefit in is energy and balance. So balance being hormonal balance, endocrine balance in men and women. Stamina, strength, focus. It's an amazing natural antidepressant. And, you know, I can vouch for that myself. Like, I was able to really change my mental health using this plant.
Is it anti-inflammatory? Do you know?
Yeah, it is. Cacao is more so anti-inflammatory than maca.
Cacao,
But it does have some anti-inflammatory properties. For sure.
I know there's an idea that depression's quite comes a lot around because someone's in the pro-inflammatory state.
Yeah.
So that would make sense if there's something there.
I mean, it's been shown to regulate the master glands of the brain. So we call a hypothalamus pituitary. And these two glands kind of produce all of our hormones, and they do influence a lot of serotonin production, for example. Like 90% of serotonin we make comes from our gut. And when the brain and gut aren't communicating well, which often happens in inflammation, we can get big disruption to all of that. So we see a benefit for that. I mean, I've found it as a really great mood stabilizer, as a good antidepressant to kind of change my mind states. For men, it's really beneficial as well for libido, which is something that a lot of men are looking for. And I found particularly going on antidepressants, like that was something that was affected me heavily, I noticed my libido really dropped, and maca was the first thing that kind of brought it back. So that for me, that powerful change enough was what really ignited my interest, because I was like, what's going on here? Like, it's been a long time since I've felt, you know, this. And in women as well, like, it's a libido enhancer for women, but it's more of a hormonal regulator and balancer. So men and women can have it too. So I would say, you know, if you want to summarize Maka, it's about balancing the nervous system, including our hormones, and building resilience so that when we're going through stress, we feel more resilient than we did perhaps before. Nice. Cacao is a real heart opener. And by that, it, for me, cacao is about bringing us up and uplifting us. So it's very much a joyous plant. Even just from our experience with chocolate, as a kid, like getting chocolate was the greatest thing on the planet. And people go, oh, it's probably all the sugar. But no, a lot of it is also the feel-good chemicals that are in cacao. Like it's got theobromine, which, you know, makes us get more oxygen in the blood, opens the blood vessels, warms us up, makes us feel like we want to kind of get up and move and flow. It's got phenylethylamine, which gives us this just intense satisfaction, works with our dopamine receptors, tryptophan, which builds serotonin, tryptamine, which works as like a sort of embodied awakening sensations. It's got cannabinoids in it that give us this blissful effect. It's got polyphenols, which make us feel kind of vital and clear. So it's a powerhouse of feel good. And the beautiful thing with it is, you know, if we're using it for our health and well-being, it works naturally and it has so many potential benefits. So anything mental health related, I would say, yeah, it's fantastic for mood and mental health.
Cool, interesting. I just thought, I mean, to me, it sounds like maca is more for the electrical system, the nervous system, and cacao is more on the circulatory, the blood and the heart.
Yeah, cacao's,
and they both work together by the sound of it. Yeah,
they have great synergy. And cacao, they call the food of the heart, actually looks like a heart. And in traditional practice, you know, it's known as the food of the heart, and it's associated with that effect of heart opening and awakening. So it is very much like more external and physical with the way we feel it working, whereas maca is a bit more internal, like you say. It definitely more nervous system, but also glandular as well, like hormones. So our nervous system operates through electrical cables and signals, but we also operate through chemical signals. So it nourishes both sides of that maca. Using the two together are perfect because you're getting that uplifting effect, but the maca is very grounding as a plant. I mean, we say it's a root, represents your roots in the ground, your where you stand, how you stand right here, right now. So it keeps us in that grounded and balanced state. And it's very yin and yang. Like the cacao is a lot more of that yang energy, that external uplifting awakening, but maca is nourishing the internal. So, and also from a taste perspective, it makes a beautiful malt caramel chocolate flavor when we combine them, because maca is kind of malt caramelly. Cacao's got the very chocolate. So if you're into malt caramel, like Maltesers, that's what I would say a chocolate maca elixir tastes like a Malteser, but healthy.
Nice. Yeah, I remember having your maca latte at the festival. It was, you know, first time having that type of flavor. And I was like, oh, this is very, very different. But also, you know, it took me a while to get used to it. And then I loved it, especially with the cacao.
Yeah.
It was really great. I had a thought there. It's sort of gone now. Oh, yeah. I could sort of link that to the chakra system, where the bottom two chakras, the sacral and the root, that would be maca. And then the heart chakra and the solar plexus, that would be the cacao, where it's sort of your willpower and your connection to others. So it sounds like they're working on those really grounded, the fourth, third, second, and first chakras, and helping you, yeah, like just be yourself and ground yourself. So it's pretty cool.
Yep. Yeah, definitely. And that's a really great way of describing it, I think, is, yeah, exactly that, you know, the combination. And it's beautiful because these plants, like I said, have been combined through by the tribes of Peru for thousands of years. I mean, the history of cacao in Peru is 5,500 BC was the first evidence of the Chinchipe tribe of the northern Peru. They were the first people in the world to use cacao in a ceremony. And cacao ceremonies originated from this part of northern Peru. And then they evolved in through the different cultures, the Chavin culture, which was around 2000 BC, and it made its way up into the Olmec culture, the Mayans and the Aztecs from around sort of 2000 BC right up until, you know, 1500 AD. So the journey of cacao, yeah, it all came out of that region, but it originated in Peru. And the descendants of the Chinchipe, the Awajun tribe, who currently use cacao today in traditional ceremonies in the north, are continuing on that lineage. So it's beautiful to know that, you know, it has such a strong and deep-seated roots out of the Americas. And, you know, Peru was where it all began, but it's very much heavily ingrained now in Mayan culture in Guatemala and Mexico as well. Yeah, so we run retreats in October. This year we're going, and it's normally in July, but we're going a bit late because of the whole COVID, where we take people to Peru to go back to the roots and learn about this, these, you know, indigenous tribes behind it, and be kind of initiated and connected with cacao. And next year we're going to be restarting our Maca retreat, which is in the Andes. So it's connecting with Andean culture, which is more Incan, Huancan, Pumpush. So yeah, really fascinating. My wife, Sally, runs and manages all of that, which is, so if people are ever interested, like, highly recommend, yeah, getting in touch with us to learn more.
Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, we'll find out where to get that at the end of the show. I was just wondering, I've always, in my research, I'm finding it very conflicting in terms of the caffeine in cacao. Does it exist? Does it not exist? Is there much? Is there none at all? What's your understanding?
Yeah, really good question. It depends on the cacao. And some cacaos have more caffeine, some cacaos have less. So we currently work with two varieties of cacao. One is from Tocache, and it's a high, very high theobromine cacao, but very low caffeine. So we have in a 30-gram serve only 9 milligrams of caffeine, which is like a quarter of the strength of a green tea in terms of caffeine. So very low. Yeah. So if you can handle green tea at night, you can easily handle the caffeine in this. But it has a lot of theobromine. So theobromine is similar to caffeine, but it has a different, slightly different chemical structure. It works on the same receptors, but the structure of it is changed enough that it doesn't permeate the blood-brain barrier as effectively as caffeine. So it can't activate a lot of the receptors in the brain, which means that it's more peripheral. It works more on the arms, the legs, the heart. And so we get this, the effects of like opening the arteries, the effects of slightly elevated heart rate, increased blood flow, sensations of warming and uplifting, but it doesn't have that intense severity like caffeine does. Like some people feel caffeine is really kind of, it's like hitting you with a sledgehammer, you know, it's very overwhelming. Yeah. So theobromine is a great alternative for those who don't handle caffeine well, because it's more mild. And then the other cacao we work with, the Otorongo cacao, is low caffeine and low theobromine. So it's actually, like you talked about the chocolates that make you feel quite chilled. It's similar to that, sort of where it's more of a chill out cacao. It's the kind of cacao you want to use, you know, when you're wanting to just sit back, relax, meditate, journal, connect, observe. It's, you know, it's an internalizing cacao, low theobromine, low caffeine.
Yeah, I was about to ask if those ratios sort of are always inverse with each other, one's high, one's low, but you can get both high as well, I'm imagining.
Yeah. And then the ratio they talk about, you know, some companies promote their ratios of this 8 to 1 or whatever. Ours is 29 to 1 in the Amaru, the spiral cacao we produce from Tocache. And our other one is about, it's about 8 to 1, but it's low on both of them.
Yeah.
So the ratio is important as well. You want higher theobromine, lower caffeine. But you also, some people want low theobromine as well and low caffeine. So it depends. Okay.
That's cool. All right, I better stop telling people that there's no caffeine in chocolate now, because I couldn't find any definitive. It always went back and forth. And that makes sense, because, you know, you were saying cacao is less on the nervous system and more on the circulatory. So it makes sense that it doesn't really reach the brain. It just opens. It sounds like it's just a bodily process that doesn't encompass the head.
I mean, it. You do get some, you know, brain activity, but not as much. It's less like potent caffeine. Than caffeine, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And so have you studied these compounds yourself and done research on them?
Sorry, it just cutting out a bit there.
Okay.
Just checking the signal. Can you repeat the question?
Yeah, just wondering, have you studied the chemicals yourself in maca and cacao, like the actual molecules and the effects?
Yeah. So okay. With maca, it's about 3 years now we've been doing mapping using chromatography techniques. So we use one called gas chromatography where we put different maca samples in and we separate out all the key bioactives, and we can now look at these peaks on a chromatogram and go like this is this cannabinoid, this is that cannabinoid. And part of the reason of doing this is to understand the traditional uses. So for example, red maca has different uses and benefit to black maca. Red maca is used more for stress, anxiety, hormonal balance, bone density. Black is used for stamina, endurance, and brain function and memory. So part of the mapping is like understanding like what is different with these colors that we can attribute to that, and can we identify key molecules that are of importance, and then putting those further through into like the study we did over summer with Otago was putting it through the same assays they use for cannabis. So how effectively are these individual molecules binding cannabinoid receptors, if at all, and how much are they supporting our own cannabinoids? So looking at anandamide as an analogy. So yeah, those studies we've been doing for 3 years, and it's had some really interesting results, like backing up some of these traditional uses. Like now we can attribute some of the activity of red maca and its effects on bone and blood to, you know, some of these key macamides and their activity, the macamides being the cannabinoids. Black maca in particular has a great effect where we've seen it can enhance nitric oxide, which opens blood vessels and potentially has some of the libido enhancing effects associated with it. So they've often called black maca Peruvian Viagra. And now we can, through mapping it, we can attribute it, a lot of the activity to one maca mine in particular that has a great effect of increasing blood flow, particularly to the loins. You know, so like I think the mapping of it is really important because it helps us understand mechanism, but it also gives us an idea of what are the markers we need to look for and how do we make these products more therapeutic. Because a big issue in the industry is that, you know, not all of it is the same, and there's no quality measures, there's no markers, there's no control. Right. So we're the first company to kind of, bring out therapeutically profiled maca and cacao. It has standardized and tells you exactly what's in it, so you know the effects that you're going to get with it. We did the same with cacao. We looked at 6 key biomarkers and we create a profile to tell you how this cacao will interact with your body.
Oh, great. So I brought a product. It was the Maca for Men. Is that the Peruvian Viagra?
So the Maca for Men blend. Yeah. The maca for men blend is it's a 3-color combination, so it's got high levels of black maca, and the reason that we use a lot of black is because traditionally men in Peru would use more black, and this is because in a traditional setting they're farmers, they're physical, they're working in the fields, they need stamina, endurance and strength, and that's what black maca is all about. But red maca is also very important for men. Red maca was shown to help support male prostate function and reduce inflammation and stress and anxiety. So the men's blend, we put some red in as well because there's benefits for that. So it's a combination, but it's more in line with traditional ratios that the men would consume. And also we standardized it based on the macamide, the cannabinoid levels. So we take the raw ingredients and we kind of profile it and we go, men want energy, stamina, endurance, sexual function, libido, but they also want, you know, anti-anxiety properties, they want that. So we kind of profile it and we mix the ratios in the right ingredients and create these therapeutic blends. But it should potentially, there should be some that's the goal, is to have all of those great effects in one.
And you've done a similar blend for the woman, just the red being the most dominant?
Yeah. It's more focused on red marker. But again, like this, you know, there's definite benefit for women taking black and yellow. Yellow is great for thyroid function, for example. Particularly, you know, menopausal issues. A lot of women struggle with their thyroid, so that's beneficial. It's also good for the immune system, the yellow. So, yeah, we made a blend that has the best of all, but more heavy on the red marker, because that's kind of hormonal regulation, which is what a lot of women are looking for when they look at maca. They're like, I want, you know, we see women coming to us with things like PCOS or endometriosis or just really bad PMS or some androgen dominance, estrogen dominance, and they're looking for something that can bring that harmony back. So that's why we created that blend, because we feel like it's the most effective at bringing harmony back to the hormonal patterns.
Have you had feedback about people in depression or mental states being improved with your product, with your maca?
Yeah. I mean, we've had some amazing stories. There's great testimonials all over our website, but you know, we've had people that have been able to, like myself, you know, come off antidepressants and support their natural mental health using maca and cacao. We've had people, you know, and have improved mood, improved energy. We've had some really interesting stories too. Like one customer that came to a workshop of ours was like having regular seizures, and they were using the concentrated form of black maca, which is really good for kind of neurological conditions. Yes. And within kind of 4 weeks, their seizures reduced down to almost zero. And you know, looking, and they wrote a big review saying it's been incredible, the journey, like I've no longer have seizures, and I was getting seizures almost daily. So we've seen some interesting results for some of these kind of more curveball conditions, where people are, you know, they've tried a lot of different things and they've got some real chronic health issues going on and they've had benefit. Chronic fatigue's a big one. We see a lot of people having benefit from chronic fatigue.
Yeah, that's amazing. Just with the seizures, a lot of people go on a ketogenic diet, which is therapeutic for seizures to reduce them. But, you know, that doesn't work for many people. So having maca as an option is great. And maybe doing both a keto diet and the maca would help a lot more people. That's awesome.
Yeah, keto is an interesting one, eh? Like it's really, some people really respond well to it because it's massively reducing inflammation in the body. And obviously inflammation creates a lot of health problems. The good thing is we do these ultra concentrated forms of maca, which are the 10-to-1 extracts. And they are perfect for keto because they don't contain carbohydrate levels like the normal powders. So we say if you're on keto, we do concentrates that are tailored for that keto diet. Like they're not going to carbo load you, so you can easily fit it into your regime.
Okay, cool, man. Thanks for coming on. That was an awesome conversation. And what I really like about you, like when I was at your workshop, I was like, he's a scientist, not just doing, you know, scientific method in the test, but it's real science to me because it's connecting to real world observations of the culture. You're testing this stuff in the lab and you've got these ideas, but then you see the ideas play out in the real life with the people, the actual people, the men and the women. Oh, wow. So what you might be theorizing and what you've been shared with the people of the culture, it actually matches with the science. And that's what real science is. It's matching reality to your tests. It's observations that are being backed up and you know, observed in real time. And to me, that's just awesome. You know, this is real science to me.
Yeah.
Good stuff, man.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for the feedback. And I mean, that's the goal of what I do. Like I always say to people, I worked in the big pharmaceutical industry where the focus is only on the science and not on the person and the health and all the other stuff that's important, the holistic nature of health. So I truly believe that to get results with any natural product, you need that connection to the plant medicine, to the culture that comes behind it. And that's part of the healing. Like that's the important part of the healing is that connect. If I just pop a tablet every day, am I going to get better? You know, and science is even saying to us now, like neuroscience is saying, no, it's more than that. Health and recovery is more than just tablets. Like the mind body connection is so important in that. And the mind body connection can be nourished through education with any plant that we work with. So yeah, I would encourage people out there, like, don't just go and grab a bag or a bottle or a capsule and take it, but really immerse yourself into understanding the traditional use of that plant, the culture, the energetics, the people, and the traditions and ceremonies associated with it, because it will change your way that you view it, and it will change the way that it works with your body. I don't think I would have had the same success had I just gone out and bought maca tablets and taken them daily as going to Peru and immersing myself in all of that.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I can only imagine, I'm having your maca product now, but imagine if I went to Peru and saw its origin and its story and its background, it'd probably have a lot more benefits just because of that knowing and that experience that I would have had, you know?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I agree. I mean, health is so much more holistic than what we in the scientific community give it credit for.
So where, how do people go on these tours with you? How can they buy your products? Where can people find you?
Yeah, so if they want interested in our products, we're in 140 stockists around the country. You can look them up on our website, which is selenohealth.com, S-E-L-E-N-O, selenohealth.com. There's all the stockists there. You can buy through our website as well. If you're in Raglan, we sell at the dispensary there, the herbal dispensary, sell our full range of products. And if you guys are keen on our workshops, there's a list on our website under Learn. You can go attend a workshop. We have workshops all around the country. You get in touch with us on Facebook or Instagram. Instagram, we're at selenohealth, and heaps to learn on there. We run an online cacao training course and an online maca training course. So it's like 20 hours of just immersive connection. And yeah, if you're really keen, like, I would recommend you looking into doing those. And they're the prerequisites for joining us in Peru as well. So if Peru is something you feel called to go to and you want to join us over there and be part of that journey, then the online course is the perfect gateway into that, because it's going to give you all the foundational knowledge that you need.
What's the website for the course?
It's on selenohealth.com. And just click on cacao, and then it says cacao training course or maca and maca training course. The other way you can find it is go to training.selenohealth.com. So www.training.selenohealth.com or selenohealth.com/training. We've got it all linked into the same.
You got it covered. So, yeah.
Yeah. Because some people do read it one way, others read it the other. So we just made it easy and we kind of linked it all together.
Cool. Well, thanks, Corin, for coming on. I'll chat to you next time.
Yeah, cool, man. Happy to come back and chat. Well, I love Raglan. And yeah, anytime you guys want to chat about anything health related that we do, just give us a bell.
I'll have to get you in the studio sometime.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cheers, mate. And that was Dr. Corin from selenohealth.com. Him and Sally are doing great work, working with real people, doing the actual farming, organic, natural, traditional, ancestral ways of farming as well. So you're getting a lot of nutrition, real nutrition in these foods, these medicinal, healing, balancing foods. And if you want to see more of that in the world, you can support these guys and support yourself at the same time by going to their website, or locally here in Raglan, you can go to the Herbal Dispensary. Highly recommend their products. They're balancing not just your hormones and your mood, and helping improve your immune system and detox system. But it's a chain reaction when you purchase from these guys, and how it's rippling around the world, the effects of buying real food from people who are doing things sustainably, regeneratively, and they're not taking anything. In fact, they're probably giving back more to the planet and how they're producing these beautiful medicinal products. So, again, highly recommend. That's all from me. So until next time, stay free. Be yourself. Know that you are loved and you are love. Kia kaha.